And it's a day of celebration, and I really believe the Lord wants to speak to us and encourage us. I want to tell you a story. In one of these trips that we had opportunity, we were still at Cornerstone Church, and we did an overland trip all the way to Kigoma. Do you know where Kigoma is? Not a clue. Well, it's very quite close at the top of Lake Tanganyika in the north western side of Tanzania, and we were asked by Henny Cater to go overland with 4x4s and trailers, and it was nondescript all the way up to northern Malawi and getting into Tanzania. Is the sound okay? And then we got to the Zambian border, and we had to go up this road, and it started off a beautiful sand road, and eventually it went to a two-track. And we had to do a two-track for almost 800 kilometers we were on this thing. It was day and night for 2.5 days to get there. We went through riverbeds, up rock faces, got stuck in mud. It was like, I remember a friend of mine said to me, we at 1 o'clock in the morning, we stopped. We heard this rushing water all around us. And he said, "Camel man, nothing on us." Do you get that? No. Didn't you know the Camel Man adventures on the vehicles that went out? Okay, my ear is a bit older, I suppose. Sorry. But you know, when we ministered there in Kigoma, in those times we didn't have GPS and things and compasses. And we did have compasses, but we didn't take a compass and we didn't have a proper map. And we realized we couldn't go back that same route. So we went to the local transport department, found out where it sort of road, and we went up towards the Burundian border. And we drove all night, and we'd go through the villages, and we'd pull the pole apart, and then we would drive and put the pole back. And eventually we got into it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was a fork in the road. We didn't have a map. We didn't know which way to go. Did we go left or we go right? 2 o'clock in the morning, stopped the vehicles. We prayed. We said, "Lord, we don't know which way to go. We honestly don't know which way to go." And you know, God is so gracious. In that moment that we prayed, a gentleman popped out of the bush with his spear. And lucky we had Lester Monyoza with, who could speak Swahili. And we spoke to him. He said, "No, no, you must go this way." And I want to tell you, that story has resonated in my heart. Because there are decisions that we need to make, and we do not know which way to go, and God wants to help us make decisions. You know, the prophetic word that came today was about this decision making. And you know, our God loves us so much that He doesn't take the ability from you and I to be able to make decisions. He made you an intelligent being. He gave you an ability to think, even though the world doesn't always think that we can think, but we have an ability to think and make rational, wise decisions. But yet, in a lot of these decisions that we need to make, we need the wisdom of God to do that. So the message today is about, or the theme of the message is, the why in the road. And I want us to go in our Bibles, please, into a text from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. And this is about Paul. God sent him on a mission, and he was going through the then known Asia, and he didn't know which way to go. And I want to read it to you from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed by at Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now here was Paul, submitted to God like we are, and yet he was traveling, doing God's business, and now the Spirit of God stopped him from going in a different area, and then through a vision started to speak and show him which way to go. And you know, all of us have decisions to make. I was reading a story of the late Billy Graham, and Billy Graham was used incredibly by the Lord, and was the time when the communism was paramount, and anyone going to Russia was seen to be doing something negative. But an opportunity came for him to go to Russia and to preach in the Russian Orthodox Church, and also to go to a conference where they wanted to talk about peace. And he was being told by everyone, even from the vice president of America to people that were close associates that he was accountable to, don't go. Don't go. And Billy Graham says there that he went and he prayed. And he kept on praying. And he went and he sought the scriptures. But he said, overriding were all these voices that came to say, don't go. And he said, but God gave him peace in his heart that he should go. So against all the voices that were saying to him, don't go, Billy Graham got on an airplane and flew to Moscow and preached in the Russian Orthodox Church and went to that conference as a delegate and could participate. Wasn't construed to be part of anything that the communist propaganda was putting through. And he says that if I had not obeyed God in that situation, the door into communist Russia would never have opened. And we know how he went there and he did crusades into that region and God used him mightily. Now that's the great Billy Graham. But you and I have also got these decisions to make. And God wants to help us in that. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira when it came to finances. They made a decision in their hearts that they wouldn't disclose to the apostles all the money that they had received for their land and went with the premise and told the church, this is what we actually received. So they actually lied. It was a choice that they made. And what happened? The Holy Spirit struck them and they died. Isn't that serious? Our choices are so, so important. And we're going to face all these things when it comes to our vocation. What job are you going to do? The exact place and the time that you're going to live. You know, I really believe the scripture says God places us in the exact times and the exact places where we need to be. But you had a choice. You had a choice to come through that door and you decided that this is the place that you're going to make home to worship God. You had that choice. We never coerced you. We never put chains on you and said, this is where you will worship God. It was a choice that you made. And it's the same thing in lives. You have chosen to live in Johannesburg. Now rejoice in that. Don't dream of living in Cape Town. See this as the place that God has actually given to you to rejoice. God's put us in these exact places and the exact times where we need to live. The decision's also about a lifetime partner. These are absolutely massive decisions that you need to make. Who are you going to allow to work together with for the rest of your life? And it will impact your life. It will impact your life. I always say to the people when they choose a partner, watch out for the family. Because you marry the family. Sorry. You marry the family. So I've got a wonderful family. God has really blessed me. I had to qualify that, eh? But I want to just encourage us today, and I want to put things before us. In Acts chapter 15, verse 28, it's not always clear how we're going to do this. We don't get things written on a wall to say this is the way you should walk in it. God invariably sits behind us, and it gets us to a place where we will make decisions, and he guides us in that, and then he'll confirm it. In Acts chapter 15, verse 28, it said that the apostles had to make a decision, and they weren't too clear what to do because they didn't have a rule book to tell them what to do. And it says here, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So it was working together with God to actually work these things out. So now the searching for God's will, and I want to just say God wants us to walk according to his will. And in James, it says, we need to be in a place that we need to respond a lot of the times to say, if the Lord is willing. Because we are to be in a place where we are submitted to him. You know, when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, You made him Lord of your life. And it's not one that who's a dictator, but rather that one that wants to love you and wants to guide you in the affairs of life. You know, God hasn't just put you in a box. He's put you in a place where you can find freedom and you can find abundant life. And as much as you might look at the circumstances in the world that we live in, and we look at the politics and we look at the economies of countries and that, God lives above that. And we need to live above that and find the freedom to live our lives. So we've got to search for God's will, and God wants us to walk according to his will. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want to just say to you, so often when it comes to our concept of the will of God, sometimes we think, what is it? It's a tightrope. Yes, we've got to balance, you know. We've got to fall off. Oh, help me, help me. And I want to just say to you, the will of God is not that. I really believe the will of God is a garden. God has got a fence around it. He's protected it, and he's put all the trees in it, and he's put the swimming pool, and he's put the jungle gym in, and he's put all the things for our enjoyment in the garden. Now he says, go and play. And you can choose. Do you want to go play on the swing? Or do you want to go and jump on the trampoline? Or go and climb the jungle gym? It's your choice. It's not wrong to do those things. I don't know if you know Dudley Daniel, who led up NCMI and has basically stepped back because of ill health. He had a choice to make, and it was a big decision. He was living here in South Africa, and an opportunity to go and plant a church was in Australia or America. And he went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord never came back to him. Isn't that so true of our God? Hey, at times he gets us really on our knees to wait upon him. But eventually the Lord spoke to his heart and he said, Dudley, you choose. You choose. And Dudley went to Australia and he also went to America. But eventually he has settled in Australia. So the choice is, the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And wherever he leads us and wherever he guides us, is very important that we be obedient to him. Yes, and we're going to go through some of the things. There's some wisdom that we need in making our decisions. So I want to just, first point is to say, is that does God care? And I want to just say, God does really care about each and every one of us. The Lord has a plan for our lives, and he wants us to walk according to that plan. As this prophetic word came, sometimes the plan that we have is outside the flow of God, and we land up in the reeds. And we get caught up and we get ensnared. And God wants us to walk in the fullness of what he's provided. And he wants this flow to be the flow that you're in. And sometimes the journey that you travel is not easy. I think sometimes the gospel that is preached, come to Christ and it'll be easy. I don't always see that. You will go through the valleys and you will climb the hills and overcome. And we've got to travel those journeys. Ask anyone who does running or anyone that does cycling. There's a hill, but there's a downhill. And you've got to do those things. And you know, when you get your mind around it, but if there's a hill and you say, well, I'm going to conquer this thing, I'm going to overcome this thing, you're going to walk over that thing and there's going to be a joy of getting through that. And we all go through different seasons, and you know, it might be seasons of ill health, it might be seasons of financial difficulty, it might be seasons of children that are rebellious. I don't know, these things actually happen to all of us. And you've got to walk through those things, and we've got to hear God and work together with him as we go forward. So I want to just say to you is that the Bible tells us that God loves us. He cares about us, and he wants the very, very best for us. Your Heavenly Father loves you. You need to know that. He wants the very, very best. And if we can be in a place and we can surrender and know that he loves us, how much easier is life? I think fear gets in the way and we don't realize that God actually loves us and wants the very best for us. Even when you're going through tough times, God still loves you. And he's there with you, and he's with you through that to get you to overcome. You know, a lot of us formulate our lives on our past. Am I right? What happened? And that determines how we live our future. And that's where we get to a place when we've got to go forward. We don't see a future. We keep on looking back. We keep looking back. And you know, if you look at the stats of people, how many people look forward? I think out of a total of the total population, people that are truly futuristic and trusting and going forward is 2% of the population. So we're all predisposed. Doing what happened there? No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Because we see our past experiences determining how we to go forward. And that does not how God wants to lead us. God wants to lead us new every day and lead us. And I'm going to tell you, when you start to follow the Lord, there's some exciting things ahead of you and there's some scary things ahead of you. He's going to ask you of things that you cannot do. Can you believe that? But in Him you can do all things. Hey? And that's where God wants you to go. He wants you to be an overcomer and going forward. So God cares for us. In Romans 8, He cares for us so much is that in Romans 8 verse 30, He said He predestined us because He called us and He justified us and He also glorified. God predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son. So He knew we all natural and human and created. God is the creator. He knew when you will be born, where you would be born, where you would live, and how you would life. And He even knows when you're going to die and where you're going to die. He's got you in the palm of His hand. And if He's predestined us to be conformed to His Son, He cares. And He loves us and He wants the whole of our lives to be in His Son and find the fullness of what He provided for us. But the problem is we don't always believe that. We don't always believe that God cares for us. We don't believe that God has a plan for our lives. Why? Because we get too busy. We don't have time to wait upon Him. We believe at times that God doesn't want to help us. And he's too busy in His life that He can't take time to come and speak to us. Or even we get to a place where we think God is a tyrant. How can all this evil take place in the world and happen to me? I want to say to you, no. God has a wonderful, loving plan for you to go forward. You see, He calls us to a relationship with Him. He calls us to a covenantal relationship with us. And I want to even say that covenantal relationship is a partnership with Him, to talk to Him and allow Him to talk to you. He is the greater, we are the weaker. But when we have this vital relationship with Him, it says in the scriptures that the Spirit of God has been sent to us to lead us. And He will lead us according to God's will. And we must believe that. We must believe that God wants to lead us and guide us. And making decisions, you know, a lot of you are businessmen here. I wanted to say to you, your business decisions also need to be led by God. It's not only about the bottom line that says, is it profitable or not? Sometimes the wise businessman will say, that's the wrong person to do business with. But yes, you hear God, that is the person to do business with. And you know because God has led you in that. So it's very, very important as we walk and we make decisions to walk in a relationship with God. For most of us, the barrier is a battle of our wills and His will. We are not prepared to submit to His will. You know, we all have this incredible problem. Every single one of us. What is it called? Selfishness. We're all selfish. My way or the highway. You do it what I want. And you know, as much as we might be gentle and kind and loving people, we all face this issue is that numero uno is more important. And that's why God gets us to a place that we need to humble ourselves and we need to submit. And when we learn to submit and give our lives to the Lord, you'll be absolutely amazed how He can actually start to speak into your lives. You know, pride is a major problem. And we see it every single day in the world. We see it in the young children that are growing up. They want it all their own way. And sometimes as adults haven't learned to deal with pride. And I'm telling you now that
one of the biggest enemies in making right decisions is pride, because we see it through the filter of our eyes and not through what God's perspective is and what He wants us to do. So we've got to learn to humble ourselves. It's a very, very, very important thing. You know, in the world, humility is a weakness. But in the kingdom of God, humility is an absolute strength. When you learn to surrender to God, and when you learn to consecrate all things to Him, that's where strength comes. For when you are weak, then you are strong. Amen. Amen. So, God's will is founded in His love. And that's why I want you to trust God. Trust the Lord. He loves you, and He will work all things out for the good. Even, can I even say, you might miss the mark. You might miss the mark, and you might make the wrong decision, and you're going down the wrong way, and you know you've made the wrong decision. God is so great if you learn to submit to Him, and you learn to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I made the wrong decision. God will still work that situation for the good. Do you believe that? I believe that's how great He is, that He gives us the freedom of choice. And even though it might seemingly from a worldly perspective be a failure, He will turn it as you submit to Him and allow Him to be God. He will turn it for the good. That's incredible. That's how much He loves us and how much He cares for us. So we understand that He loves us and He wants us to be in a place we'll find His goodness. So when we get to the will of God, there are two dimensions. The next point is there's the universal will of God and there's the individual will of God. Now, the universal will of God is for every single person on planet Earth. God has given us through the Scriptures, He's given us His will and how He wants us to conduct ourselves and how we need to live here on Earth. And that's when we fight against that we see all the problems in this earth. And then there's the personal will of God in our lives, and that's more difficult to work out. So when it comes to the universal will of God, I really believe this is the moral and ethical behavior that we need to have in our lives. God wants us to be in a place that we'll be committed to Him and that we would follow Him. And we need to be living in a place that we will try to avoid to sin, not to lie, not to steal, commit sexual immorality, not to murder, not to be consumed or not be coveted, not to be greedy. And where do we find that? In the Ten Commandments. See, Jesus came to fulfill the law, and the Ten Commandments are still prevalent today. Ten Commandments, is this happening or is it intimating? If we would hold on to the Ten Commandments, I'm telling you now, society would be a better place. Where are the biggest problems that we're facing today? We call it corruption, but it's actually greed. We have another God that we serve. It's called idolatry. What is happening? People are worshiping so many other things and not worshiping the true God. Not honoring the Lord. There's a story that United States of America in the early 60s, the Supreme Court of the USA made a decision that there'll be no longer prayer and Bible study in the schools in America. And they can put it down to that point to say in America where there was a moral decline in society was from when that was taken out of the schools. Because there is no benchmark. People do not know what is right. People are so confused today they don't know even if they are male or female. God made us male and female. What do you call them? I want to be honoring. Should be male and female. But we've got to walk this because the moral code and the ethical code that God put in place has been broken. You see, and we find that in the Scripture. The universal will of God is found in the Word of God. And we've got to, not only the Ten Commandments, but there's many other instructions where the Scripture actually gives us understanding about truth. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness. And then Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? And that's where God has given us this Bible, that we can take hold of the Bible and we can find His universal will. So we all have a responsibility to find His will through the Scriptures. Sometimes the Bible gives us very specific rules to follow. And the first one is that we're not to cheat on taxes. It says in Romans 13, verse 7, it says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. God gives us an understanding of those things. And then also, we're not to be unfaithful to our spouses. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. And remember, God will never, ever lead you contrary to His word. He will always lead you in the truth. And then there also, God gives more general and moral spiritual principles that we need to take hold of, where Jesus was asked, what is the most important law that we need to follow? And Jesus said the greatest command in Matthew 22 was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. How different the world would be if everyone obeyed the love commandment. Hey? And we've got Christ in us, and we battle at times to do that, don't we? But selfishness and our own way gets in the way of not loving, and hatred and greed and evil gets in. We've got to be in that place. And Jesus used that parable of the Good Samaritan, where the Good Samaritan helped others. If we would all do that and we would learn to do that, how much more this world and how different this world would be. The next point is, if you're ignorant of God's word, you'll always be ignorant of God's will. And as I say, when you start to find God's will, go and find the Scriptures, what God has actually said in His word. There's so many clear indications through the word of God how we should actually live our lives. We need to hold on to God's word. When we put God's word first in our lives, we will find His will. And this is where I want to encourage you. I really believe we're in an age where believers do not know the Scriptures. And I want to encourage you, you need to be reading your Bibles. You need to be reading your Bibles on a daily basis, because it's the Word of God. And God has given us this privilege to have the Scriptures. We've got it in a book called the Bible. And if you would read the Scriptures, I assure you the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you through these things. You know, for a number of years, I've been reading through the Bible from cover to cover. I've got a program that I read. I cannot tell you, it might seem in the most obscure places in the Scriptures, but God leads me through that. And guidance for the day, for the things that I need to make. And yes, there's also, when you go and study the Scriptures and you look into a topic, what you'll be doing about that, you'll be surprised how God will actually lead. So please do not negate God's word. So that's the universal will. We go and find it through God's word, and you never go past that, and we've got to be fulfilling that. And then it comes to our individual will, and this is more difficult, because God's will for you individually differs from person to person. He created us, every one of us, unique, and He's given us all different personalities. We all don't look the same, don't we? Hey, just look to your spouse or your neighbor now and say, you don't look like me, because God has made you unique. And He's got a unique plan for your life, and He wants that to be worked out in your life. And I want to encourage you, in Jeremiah it says, 29 verse 11 to 13, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And there God will come, and He will show you His individual plans. So there's some big things that we need to work out in our lives. Who will we marry, and when will we get married? God wants to be involved in that prayer. I really believe the Lord is a matchmaker, and He will help people to get married. One of the universal things, I believe you can marry anyone in Christ. You've got to be wise, yes, with those things, but you can marry anyone in Christ. There's no restrictions on that. The Bible just clearly says there, do not be unequally yoked. And that's so often we get caught up and we think, well, it's fine, I can just get married to anyone and they will come to Christ later. Be warned, it's not wise to do that. So if you are in Christ, ensure that you marry in Christ. Also your career, what career that you will follow. And I know when we get to matric and we've got to get to a place to find out what decision we're going to make, and many young people are indecisive of what they're going to be doing, it's a big decision. My niece, she matriculated a number of years ago, and she's a follower of Jesus, and she was so serious about this thing. She thought she was going to become a doctor, and then she went and fasted and prayed and waited upon the Lord. And today she's landing up and she's starting to be a psychologist to find out what was in your heart. So these things are very serious things. God can always work them for good, but we need to find out. And I think we need to teach our children also to find the will of God for their lives. It's not comme ci, comme ça. There's preciseness in them. God will lead you. You look at your personality type, who you are, who you are emotionally, and God will lead you in that. Again, where will you live? I've spoken about that earlier, and again, and also earlier, where will you die, and when will you die? And then God also wants to lead us in our daily life, in about our families, about our finances, the wisdom of that, our leisure time, where we will go on holiday, the friends that we have, all the other choices that we have to make about buying food, where to buy food, all those things. God wants to be involved in the finer detail of our lives. He just doesn't only want to be involved in the big stuff. He wants to be in the small stuff. And you know, he wants to bless you in those things. You know, I've said to you before, ladies, when you go and buy clothes, I know it's a difficult decision at times, but take the Lord with you. And then, you know, you might not have your husband there to say, how does this look on me? But you got the Lord there to say, oh, that's great, or no, that's not good for you. You know, walk with the Lord in these things. That's how God, he loves you so dearly to do that. But I want to give you, I know we're running out of time, but I want to give you some guidelines, and I've got 6 guidelines how to find God's will. So firstly is commit your decision to the Lord when you've got to find God's will. Make it a matter of regular prayer. Bring it before him. And not only pray once, but pray regularly about the matter. It's not just a matter, yes, I've prayed about it. Continually bring it before the Lord and remind him that you brought it before him. And then ask for wisdom. I think it's one of the things that is so lacking in the world today is wisdom. And God gives us the promise that if we ask for wisdom, he will give us wisdom. And it's not man's wisdom, it's his wisdom. Enable you through that to understand his way. And then also ask him, which I think is very important, is ask, as we heard through the prophecy today, have you been resisting his will? That's important. You might be in a crossroads where you are, and God's not leading you because there's something that you've decided in your own heart that's contrary to his way. And if it's contrary to his way, you need to repent and refresh his lordship of your life. You know, it's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place when Jesus is not Lord of your life. You can commit your heart to him and say, Lord, I believe you as Lord, but to allow him to be Lord is an imperative for every single one of us. He must be Lord. In Psalm 86, verse 11, teach your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth, and give me an undivided heart. Allow the Lord to show you what he wants you to do. So don't get distracted. Don't get frantic about the situation. Don't assume that you know the best. Commit your decision to him and be patient. You don't have to have an answer now. So often people put us into a corner and say, well, I want to answer now. Shh. Put the stop sign up. You can wait a bit. They don't have to have the answer now. You can wait and give time to that thing. And you'll find that the wise people will say to you, let's think about that. Let's chew on that. Let's meditate on that. And as you ponder and think about these things, what happens? You start to work with the Lord, and the assurance comes to your heart, which you know which way to go. And then I want to say to you, don't forget to pray in the Holy Spirit. There's something of that when your spirit starts to pray, and the Bible teaches us when you start to pray in the Holy Spirit, what actually happens? You start to pray in the perfect will of God in the situation. And you know what? Because we're spiritual beings, we need revelation. Because when God speaks, it's a revelation, and our spirits need to be tuned into His Spirit. And we got to get our spirits aware of Him and then allow Him to do that. Secondly, search the Scriptures. The Bible is the direct guidance from the Lord. Apply the principles of the Word of God into your life, and He will show you what to do. He doesn't actually have to speak to you if He's spoken through the Scriptures. He doesn't have to speak to you because that is His will. He's spoken already, and we need to find His will through the Scriptures. And you know, if you don't know the Scriptures, God the Holy Spirit does. He wrote them. And He will guide you and direct you to things. So don't go like this. Lord, what is your will? Go into the desert. That is not the will of God. It'll be through your daily reading. Sometimes God, if you've been hard of hearing, does do that. Am I right? He does use the Scriptures like that. But as you allow Him and you know the Scriptures, the Spirit uses the Scriptures in your heart and brings and illuminates it to your mind, and you find out the right way to go. Thirdly, understand your circumstances. Remember, God is in you and working with you and around you. And sometimes God opens and closes doors around you. You know, I remember those days when I was looking for a job and would go for go to the agent, and then they would put me for the interview. And I wouldn't make any decision, but the decision was when I went. And I went and sat in the interview, and I met the person that was interviewing me and found the circumstances. All of a sudden, there was an appreciation what happened in the circumstances. Is this right or wrong? There was so when you, before you saw it, oh, you looked at this, and this was the role, and that was the salary. Excited, this is the job for me. But when you get there, you pick up something different in the circumstances. And God works through our circumstances and allows things to come across our path. God is so in control that, you know, your simple prayer, Lord, lead me, He can put people across your path and can guide you and lead you. And, you know, some of you are looking for work thing. It's not always the agent that's going to get you in there. It's, I don't know how God works. This is incredible. When you pray, you cannot believe how God has to work. God's a worker. Do you believe that? He's a worker. And He works very hard. You know, you might say, Lord, heal me. And He doesn't do it supernaturally, but He does it through the doctors. He's got to get you to the right doctor, the right hospital. He's got the guy who's specialized in that area, who knows the techniques, and actually has got the wisdom to work it out. Isn't that incredible how God can actually work through those things? Incredible. He works behind the scenes. And then you need to weigh up the circumstances, the things. There's a thing in business that we learned. It's all good to scope the situation. Don't just look in the immediate, look further. Try and see over the hill. You know, where are you going? It's always good. Like when you go hiking, it's good to have a map and to see what it is, and you can see the contours. But it's amazing when you get to the top of the hill and you can look and you can see where you're going, how much easier it is to get to the destination. And then another thing is called a SWOT analysis. I don't know if you've heard of what a SWOT analysis is. The strengths and the weaknesses, the opportunities and the threats. Look at the situation. Use your thinking. And think, what is the strengths of the situation? What is the weakness of it? What's the opportunities? What's the threats? And you'll be absolutely surprised. As you start to think and put it down on a piece of paper, you will start to uncover things. And then when that comes, then faith can come. Faith can come. And you can see, okay, I'm prepared to take a risk. And faith risk and believe, okay, that's the right decision. I understand this whole thing. If I don't go this way, this could happen. If I do, that could happen. God wants us to be thinking. And then the next point is seek godly advice. We need others in our lives. I just sense in my heart here, I know it's Mother's Day today. Men, I'm talking to myself. Listen to your wives. They are more perceptive a lot of the times about the circumstances we find ourselves in. Allow them to speak into your life. Be accountable to your spouse. So you'll be absolutely surprised how that will save you. But be accountable to one another. We need, God doesn't only just put us in a church, in a family. He puts us in a place that we can be accountable to one another. And I want to encourage you is that don't do this thing alone when you have to make decisions, especially some of those big decisions. It's maybe not just that you think that you can't make it alone. Come and submit it, and you'll be surprised through not trying to tell you. The elders, God has placed something on the elders in the church to be shepherds and to care for you. And they carry an anointing. I don't know if you understand that. Not them. They carry an anointing of wisdom. And I've seen it again and again and again. When folk come and I sit there, I have no clue about their situation. And as they sit there and we talk the circumstances, the wisdom comes. Supernaturally comes what to do in the thing. Because we're doing it the God way. He brought it to protect you in the thing. So, big decisions, I want to encourage you, just come and let us pray with you. We're here to help you. We're not here to tell you what to do, but some of those things are very, very important because, you know, a lot of the times we get here and then people have made the decision and, oh, my goodness, you can see a mile away they've made the wrong decision. So we can't interfere and tell them that they've made the wrong decision, but there are consequences to wrong decisions. You land up in the reeds, you land up in the eddy, and you cannot get out. And we want to protect people from getting into that position. Then the next point is, trust the Holy Spirit's guidance. As I said earlier, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And God will lead us. And overall, you know, in this difficulty of finding God's way, what needs to rule and reign in our hearts is God's peace. Overall, at the end, once you've weighed up everything, go with the peace of God. That inner witness of the peace in your spirit, go with that peace. And that's, for me, is the first thing Jesus came and spoke to his disciples when they were in such a turmoil after his death and even his resurrection. What was his first words he said to his disciples? Peace be with you. And I'll tell you, that's the strength that we can find. And I found over the years of walking with the Lord, when we've got these decisions, it's the peace of God. That guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage you to walk in that peace as you follow him. Isaiah 30 verse 21, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And in John 16 verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So just to summarize, we need to pray, we need to study God's word, we need to study our circumstances, we need to seek godly advice, but then we need to listen to our inner witness as he leads us in his peace. And then lastly, trust the Lord for his outcome. Step out in faith and walk in the Spirit. Now listen to me. Make a decision when it gets to there. Don't say, well, I don't know what to do. Make a decision. If you've weighed up all these things, don't draw back. Believe God is leading you. And sometimes how God actually works is when you take that step of faith, then the things start to happen and he starts to affirm what he is actually telling you. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Don't get caught up in fear. Don't get caught up in procrastination. Be moving. God will go before you. I trust that this has actually helped you in going forward and making decisions in the Lord. So I want to pray with you. Maybe you are in that place today that there's a Y in the road and you don't know which way to go. I want to pray with you. But let's close our eyes, please. Maybe you've come here today and you're in the valley of decision. And one of the greatest decisions that you need to make is to follow Jesus. And maybe you're following your own way and you've trusted in yourself. You haven't realized that there's a loving God who loves you and wants to come and live inside of you and wants to be your Lord and your Savior and wants to lead you in the paths of life and the eternal life that he's provided for you. And if that's you today and you're in a place and you are ripe and you are ready and you want to submit yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. If that's you here today, I'd like you just to raise your hand and I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone here today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if there's anyone else here today, you're in that place, you're in the Y on the road, and you don't know which way to go, left or right, and you're calling out to the Lord and you say, this is the day, Lord, I need to submit my will to yours and enable you. If that's you, just raise your hand and put it down. I'd love to pray with you. Those with decision making, thank you, Lord, for those hands. Father, and we pray for every individual that put their hands up and are going through difficult decisions at this time. Lord, I ask that you would confirm your will, that you would open up their hearts to your will, that they would have the assurance of faith that, Lord, that you have gone before them and that you have provided for every one of their ways, and that, Lord, that you will be their provider in those circumstances. So, Father, we just thank you. Your will is a wonderful place to be in. It's a river of life. And I just declare that over every one of us here, Lord, that that river of life would flow through every one of us, that we would walk in the fullness of what you have given us in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, will you bless us as we go our way? Keep us in the palm of your hand. Help us to continue to love you and to love others and to walk into the fullness of the Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name. God bless you all. We love you all. Those who are visitors, come and join us for cappuccino. Anyone want prayer? We are here for you. God bless you all. Thank you so much.